Many happy to be in church. It's been a good place to be this morning. Amen. I'm happy to see everybody. Good to be back. We went out of town last week, so it's good to be back home. This is our scripture this morning is Mark 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up there. We'll probably go look at some other scriptures as well. I'm going to read it again for my own sake. They came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And if you read this parallel account in Luke, it says that he wasn't just walking, he was teaching the people and preaching the gospel to them. And they said unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of men, they feared the people, because all people counted John to be a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. As I read this little passage here, I just had the question of what is really going on here, and what is the main issue with these Pharisees? You know, Jesus came to them time after time, and even John the Baptist, when they would go out to see him preaching in the wilderness, and they would ask him if he was the Christ, and he said no. And they asked him if he was Elijah, and he said, I am not. And they said to him, then who are you? And John the Baptist said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And as he saw those Pharisees standing there, he would tell them to not take any confidence in where they had come from, that they were the children of Abraham and he was their father, because that God was able of the stones to raise up children to Abraham. And the Pharisees actually approved of John's message for a time, the Bible says. Jesus said, you rejoiced in his message for a season, because John came preaching a baptism of repentance, that people should turn from their sin and repent of it and turn to God. But then as he began to preach the same message to the Pharisees, they began to hate him. And people were coming, I mean multitudes were coming from all around to hear John preach this message. And his message was no different than Christ. When John came, he came preaching a baptism of repentance and that the kingdom of God was at hand. And when Jesus came in the beginning of Mark, he said the very same thing, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. But the Pharisees were a proud people. And so when John would rebuke them, they would become angry with him. When Jesus would rebuke them, they would become angry with him. And the reason that Jesus would refuse to answer their question, just directly answer their question, he said, if you can answer my question, then I will tell you the answer to your question. You see, as time had gone on and prophecy after prophecy was given that there would be a Messiah who would come and he would restore all things and reconcile them back to God, and that he would change the world. Time after prophecy, even Moses, who they trusted, said that God was going to raise up a prophet like him, and that they should hear him, and that anybody who wouldn't hear him would be cut off from the people. And even John the Baptist, when they came asking, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." That's a prophecy given in Isaiah. They knew that prophecy. And then they said, "Well, are you Elijah?" And he said, "No." That also is a prophecy given in Malachi, that before the great and notable day of the Lord, that God would send Elijah to prepare the way for the Lord, to make a straight path to him, and that he would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And then the Lord whom ye seek would suddenly appear, and the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing in his wings. This was John the Baptist, and they knew that prophecy. And yet when he told them, "There's one standing among you whom you don't even know, one whose shoes latched, I am not worthy to loose. He's the one that we've been waiting for, and he's the one that we've been looking for." So when Jesus began his ministry and they heard the preaching of John, and the publicans and the harlots came and they repented, and Jesus told the Pharisees that, "Look, the publicans and the harlots, they're repenting and they're coming into the kingdom of God before you." And as he saw the blind receive their sight, all the miracles that he did, the multitudes that he fed, the lame that began to walk, the deaf that began to hear, all the things that he did, they sent people to capture Jesus and to bring him back to them. And when they came back empty-handed, they said, "How come you didn't bring him?" And they said, "We've never heard a man speak like this before." Even when they heard Jesus speak, they knew that there was an authority there. When they came to take him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Who do you look for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am." And they fell down. This is the authority. We're not talking about an ordinary man. We're talking about somebody that when he spoke, it went out with authority. When the word of God came from his mouth, it entered into their minds and it entered into their hearts. And it did exactly what God sent it out to do. They rejected him. And so when they ask him, after all the prophecies that they read, the Psalms, and in the law, you know, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures. Search them. Because in them you think you have eternal life." He's talking about the Old Testament. "You think you have eternal life there. But these are the ones who testify of me." And he said, "You won't come to me that you might have life." You know, and he even told the Pharisees, and Jesus had a big problem with them because of the pride of their heart. Even John the Baptist had a problem with them because of the pride of their heart. They took refuge in who they were as a people descended from Abraham. They took the gold of the temple, and they put great value in the gold of the temple. But Jesus asked them, "What's greater? The gold of the temple or the temple that sanctifies that gold?" They said, "Anybody who would swear by the altar, don't worry about it. But anybody who swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is accursed." And Jesus said, Well, what's greater? The gift that's on the altar, or the altar that sanctifies that gift? You see, the Pharisees put their pride and put their confidence in carnal things. It wasn't about God for them anymore. Their pride had taken over their life. And you know, Jesus warned the disciples. And he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the doctrine of the Jews, because it's hypocrisy. He said, they say, but they don't do. They love to stand in the markets and to be looked at by men and receive the praise of man. That was what they wanted out of this life. They wanted people to look at them and think that they were something when really they were nothing. Their heart was hard. Their love was zero. Jesus said, you know, you travel land and sea to make a proselyte, and you make them twofold more the child of hell than yourself. They bind heavy burdens on people and won't move them with one of their fingers. He said they were like whited sepulchers, which appear righteous on the outside, but on the inside, they're filled with dead men's bones. They said, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. And Jesus said, you out of your own mouth, you just gave a witness against yourself that you are the children of the Father, the children of those who had killed the prophets. And he said, I've sent you wise men and prophets and apostles and all kinds of people to preach to you, to get you to repent of the pride of your heart. And you won't do it. And after all the things they witnessed of Christ, the miracles, hearing him preach, watching people's lives be changed, they still refused to believe what was written. They still refused to believe what their eyes were seeing. Jesus told his disciples, look, if you're not going to believe me for the words, at least believe me for the works that you've seen. The blind man that was healed, he rebuked the Pharisees. He said, here's a marvelous thing. They said, we don't know where this man is from. And that blind man said, now here's a marvelous thing, that a man could open the eyes of one who was born blind. Never before has it been told that one has opened the eyes of a man who was born blind, and yet you say that you don't know where he's from. We know that God doesn't hear sinners, but if any man be a doer of God's will, we know that God hears him. And all this they saw, and all this they refused. And so when they come to Jesus, they knew that he had authority. They knew that there was something different about him. They wouldn't have come and asked the question had there not been, right? Obviously, there was something. He had some authority. And he was making a shake-up in the world. And he was really shaking the foundations of everything that they stood on, which was their pride and their standing, and that people would listen to them and lift them up on a pedestal. And that's all they wanted out of life. They didn't care about the things of God. Jesus said, you've omitted the weightier matters, like faith and judgment and mercy. You tithe mint and anise and cumin, but you omit the weightier things, like faith and mercy and judgment. This you should have done, but don't leave the other one undone either. He's saying, live your life right according to God in every way that he's commanded us. So he wasn't going to answer their question, because he had actually answered it in John chapter 5. He said, I have a greater witness than John. He said, the works that I do in the Father's name,
They bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Everything they saw should have told them who Christ was. Everything that they heard about him should have told them who Christ was. But Paul said in Romans that they went about to establish their own righteousness, and they won't submit themselves to the righteousness which is of God, which is the faith of Christ. When they came preaching repentance to them and they refused to repent, who are you to tell me, is what they said to the blind man. We know that Christ is a sinner, and he said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I know I was blind, but now I see. And that's all I can tell you about him. That should have been enough to say, well, who is this Jesus? Nicodemus heard Christ speak, and he came to him. And you know what he said? And he was a Pharisee. He said, we know that you're a man sent from God, because no man can do the things that you do except God be with him. So Jesus is rejecting their pride. That's the title. I wasn't sure what I wanted to title the message, but I just settled on God resists the proud. And you can see by the way that the Pharisees here treat Christ, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so when the publicans and the harlots and the sinners and the blind and all those who cried out on Christ, the woman who made her way to him in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and he said, I perceive that virtue's gone out of me. Somebody has touched me. And the Bible says that he was making his way through the press. They were being thronged by the crowd and pushed this way and that way and every other way. But when that woman of faith touched him, virtue had gone out of her and healed her of all her disease. She was made whole. So the baptism of John, it was from heaven. It was a baptism of repentance from dead works to serve the living God. But if they would have said that John's baptism is from heaven, what would have been the natural result of it? It would have been repentance and belief in Christ. But Christ threatened their standing. Christ threatened who they were. And they were not going to humble themselves to serve, to listen to the words of a smelly man who came out of the wilderness wearing camel's hair and a leather girdle, who came in the power and the authority of Elijah. You know, Elijah rebuked kings. So did John the Baptist. He rebuked Herod. Elijah rebuked Ahab. Elijah preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. And you know the one thing, of all the prophets, the Bible says that John did no miracle. And yet Jesus said that of all born among women, there has not been a greater than John the Baptist. What an honor this man was given. To take a world of darkness and begin to preach the light of God to it. You know, I think as he stood on the River Jordan and he was baptizing the people and he was telling the Pharisees about Jesus, and he looked up and he saw Jesus, and I believe it was just humble majesty as he walked along that shore, and he was coming to John to be baptized, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he came to him, and John said, I have need to be baptized of you. You're coming to me. And Jesus just said, John, it's up to us to fulfill all righteousness and allow this to be so. And he baptized him. And as he came up out of the water, John said that God had told him that the one that he would see the Spirit descend out of heaven like a dove and rest on him, that's the one. And he saw it, and he testified to it. And he said that this is the one that God has sent. This is the one who's going to take away your sin. And this is the one who's going to give you a new life. And this is the one who's going to die for you and give you a place in the kingdom of God. He's going to give you a place in heaven that you might dwell with him forever and ever, where you'll never have to deal with this world again. But none of us are strangers to pride. It wasn't just the Pharisees. But they're in there. And they're there for us to learn from. God hates pride. Proverbs chapter 6 says there are six things that are an abomination to the Lord. Six things that the Lord hates, and yea, seven are an abomination. And the very first thing that he lists is a proud look. If you go all the way back to the garden, it was pride. I know what's better for me more than God knows what's better for me. This is the root of the whole thing, is pride. Self-righteousness. So Jesus warns his 12, beware of this. Be sure that everything you do by the commandment of God, you do by the will of God, and you do for the glory of God. Christ has made us part of his body to be a shining light in the world. To not seek our own will. Just like Christ said, I don't seek my own will. I seek the will of him that has sent me. And you know, he even, if they would have repented, saved them. He gave a parable one time about two sons. And he said a certain man had two sons. And he spoke this to the Pharisees. A certain man had two sons. And he said to the first, go out in my field and work. And he said, no, I won't go. But afterwards he went. And he said to the second, go in my field and work. And he said, I'll go, sir. And he never went. And so he said to them, he said, which one of these two did the will of their father? And they were no dummies. They said, the first one. He said he wouldn't go, but afterwards he repented, and he did go. So they had every opportunity, but every time he spoke, and he told them about the condition of their heart, they began hardening their hearts against him. But if they would have just repented, if they would have looked around at all the evidence, all the things they had seen, all the things they had heard, all the prophecies, all the scriptures, everything, even down to the timing. They were living in a time where the whole world was looking for Christ. They knew that they were living in the time when Christ was supposed to come. But they would have just repented. He just beheld Jerusalem and he said, Jerusalem, you know, I would have gathered you like a mother hen does. I would put him under my wings. But he wouldn't come. And he said, behold, your house is left desolate. He was coming to Jerusalem one time, and he wept though. And he told them, if you had only known this, your day, the things that belong to your feet. He said, but now they're hidden from your eyes. They rejected him. Over and over and over until they finally crucified him. But in God's great wisdom, that was only part of the plan. Because he rose again on the third day. And praise God that he did. Because it was for your justification. And because he rose again, now we have hope in a resurrection and in a new life. And because he rose again and he went back to the throne, God glorified him and gave him a name which is above every other name. And once he was finally glorified, we have a wonderful day called Pentecost, where God can give the Holy Spirit, and the Father and the Son will come and dwell in the heart of a crooked sinner who would repent of his pride and praise God's holy name for what he did in Christ. And that day would not be possible. Any one of those Pharisees thought in his heart, hey, even if he did it in the last hour, that there was a man who had a field, saw people standing by idle. He said, why do you stand here idle all the day? Go out in my field to work. I'll pay you. He found him in the 12th hour, in the 6th hour. Even in the last hour, he said, go work in my field, I'll give you a hand. The ones who were there longer got mad. He said, my field, I'll pay whoever I want, what I want, when I want. Why are you mad at me? Because I paid them what you want. So if those Pharisees would have repented in their last hour, they would have been saved. Sure, they were contrary to God. Paul said they were contrary to all men because of the hardness of their heart. Sure, Christ had an issue with pride. God has an issue with the pride of man. It's one of the big three: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the downfall of man. And the only way to change it is to repent and believe the gospel. But in repenting, you need to be humble. If you don't think you need a Savior, you're not going to want a Savior. And they didn't think they needed a Savior, but they went about to establish their own righteousness. And so they rejected him. Jesus said, if you reject me, you reject the Father who sent me. I think I'm done. If pride tries to creep in, and don't think that because you've been saved, don't think that this isn't something you have to deal with. We're faced with many things today, many things. And we would think that it's something new, but there is nothing new under the sun. And for all the temptations that we face and things that we have to battle against, pride is certainly one of them. You get hurt by somebody, a lot of times our first thing is to throw up the dukes. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. Throw up that wall. Somebody cuts us off. I'm praying nothing happens to you. And that's the walk. It happens, but the Holy Ghost, what does he do? That big... Don't say it, Tim. Some guy goes zooming by me. Maybe I don't know what's going on in his life. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for. He's going to lead you. And before you sin, he's going to speak to you. Yes, sir. Amen. Let me hear all the men say amen. Hey, all right. I like that. I like that. So, that's it. God's given us a great thing, and that pride that we all deal with. We're talking in Sunday school that it leads to envy. I used to think envy wasn't a big deal, but it's a big deal. So, Christ is stronger than your flesh. I'll tell you that. He is able to lead you in the righteous way.